Hey, thanks for checking out this episode of Screen Facts with Jason Davis, your movie trivia and discussion podcast. Please like us at facebook.com/screenfacts. On Twitter, it's at Jason Davis Voice. Email screenfacts@yahoo.com. Also, please visit jasondavisvoice.com for information about voiceover services for commercials, internet and corporate videos, e-learning, phone messages, and more. And now that we got that out of the way.
Excellent.
I'm here to talk about a very funny movie from the 1980s with my good pal, Mr. Eric Reitz.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. It's been a really long time.
Very happy to be here. Yes, it has been.
So you and I are going to talk about an earlier Tom Hanks movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about The Money Pit today.
Right. The Money Pit, 1986?
March 26th, 1986.
Okay. And now, how did we pick this movie?
Well, you and I both recently became new homeowners.
That's right.
Me really new. You just moved to a new house.
Right. Yeah. We just downsized a little bit. Right. Just moved to the town next door. That's all that was about.
Yeah. So you suggested this movie.
Did I?
You did.
Good for me.
It's funny because it's a movie that I remember really enjoying back in the day.
Right.
And I hadn't really thought about it in a while. It's been a while since I've seen it. I've seen it since it came out.
Yeah.
But it's been a while, and I forgot a lot of the stuff in it.
You know, and I think I actually enjoyed it more now as, you know, an adult, because I guess what was happening to them is like, oh my gosh, this is pretty close to real. They do go a little overboard, and I was worried that since, you know, I know a little bit about construction and stuff, that I'd be very, you know, critical of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what some other reviewers have said. And that's why they're like, no, you know, this would never happen. It doesn't work that way. You know, he's a lawyer, but he doesn't like read contracts from these contractors. He doesn't do this and that. It's like, well,
here's the thing.
There wouldn't be a movie, first of all.
It's a movie. Exactly. It's a movie. You know, you got to suspend disbelief for movies all the time, especially details like that. And when people nitpick bullshit like that in a movie like this, it's a comedy.
Right.
It's farcical. In fact, we're watching the movie last night, Sue and I, and all I could think was, it's like a fucking Roadrunner cartoon, a lot of it. It really is. It's like a lot of it is like right out of a cartoon where there's just so much over-the-top slapsticky stuff happening.
Right.
That if that happened in real life, the people would be in traction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
when he does the whole scaffold thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a brilliant scene. That's awesome. It's right like Buster Keaton. Or Harold Lloyd.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I read that he was in the plaster. It's a movie, so it takes a long time for them to put the plaster on.
Right.
They're constantly wetting him down. He said he had to wear that for several days, for a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, really? Just because it's only a couple shots that last maybe, what, 3 minutes of the movie?
It's amazing how long it takes to shoot a 3-minute sequence in a film.
Yeah.
They change the lights for the different camera angles. Mm.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, the scaffolding's breaking down around him. He was even put up in the scaffolding, and he was pretty nervous. Like, I saw this clip where he was being, like, escorted out onto part of the scaffolding, and, you know, he's kind of shaking. I'm like, you know what? That'd be me, too. Rickety scaffolding there.
But there's like a scene where he falls when the staircase collapses.
Right.
And he's hanging on like a ninja warrior.
Right, right.
But he's by his fingertips and she steps on his fingers. And he's like, you're standing on my fingers. And then she gets off and then he falls.
Right.
And then later he says something like, well, after that fall, we're the same height.
Right.
And that, you know, that literally probably would happen.
Right. Now, in reality, that fall would kill you because he landed on his back on the stairs.
Right.
Okay. But
yeah.
By that time, other ridiculous stuff have happened. And so what? You don't care.
I look at it this way. This movie set the stage for Home Alone.
Yes. Yeah.
The stuff that goes on in Home Alone.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good call. In that scene also, when, you know, she comes running and he's yelling, you know, stop, the stairs are gone. And she like barely holds on at the end. She was held by a wire.
Oh, yeah.
Because, there wasn't CGI or anything.
Right.
So we talked that it stars Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks and Shelley Long.
I like Shelley Long.
Me too.
I mean, I know she got crap for, you know, leaving Cheers in its heyday.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she's difficult to work with because she asks questions. But I don't know. I mean, the few things I've seen her in, this and the Brady Bunch movies, she's fantastic.
She was also very good in Night Shift.
Which, oh, that's right. Yeah, Night Shift.
Which was like one of Ron Howard's first movies. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on the podcast. Blazer and I talked about it because it's okay. One of his favorite movies. And it's a great movie. It's very funny.
Yeah.
But she was good in that. Yeah, I always liked her too. I never watched Cheers, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I know. I'm probably going to get hazed for that. But I have it in my queue on Hulu now, like all these years later. Someday I'll get to it.
I'd be interested to see how dated it feels.
Yeah, that's true.
It might feel a little dated.
I don't know. People sitting around drinking, that never goes out of style.
That's true.
But
that's
anyway.
Very true. So what else? How much did this cost and how much did it make and all that fun stuff?
So the movie was budgeted at $10 million. Grossed $37.5 million in the U.S. and worldwide $55 million. So, you know, moderate success.
Yeah, not too bad. It was pretty big in Germany.
Was it?
It was. And actually, in German, it's called Geschnacht ist noch zu teuer.
That's easy
Hopefully
for you
I'm
to say.
That. No, it's not. Which means free is still too expensive.
Okay. I actually read that Tom Hanks is not a big fan of this flick, though.
Yeah, I read that, too.
He agreed with Roger Ebert's review. Roger Ebert hated it, too.
He said, the two characters, they were dumb. Who's going to feel sorry for dumb people if their house falls down? Man, Ebert, you're a dick. You know? Come on. Because smart people can make a mistake.
Of course.
And not everybody knows construction all that well.
He might have been having a bad day when he saw it and reviewed it. It feels maybe a little dated now, but not in a real negative way. I don't think that movies are made that are this sort of silly anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I like the fact that it's silly. I like the fact that it's very slapsticky, and there's a lot of really funny quips.
And you would hope the slapstickness, for me, that helped suspend the reality. Dumb stuff, like when he puts a log in the fireplace,
right,
and the whole thing chimney collapses.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way.
Of course not.
But I don't care. I'm laughing because I've already been programmed through the whole movie that just this goofy stuff is happening.
Yeah.
You know what? And so what? It's a little over the top. But they do it right because then like the top of the chimney falls through and all the soot comes out.
Right.
And then he goes into bed and he's covered in soot. So they did it right.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to go overboard, at least be on.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that happens. It's crazy. Like the bathtub falling through the floor and all that.
It doesn't work that way.
Of course not.
But that laugh.
Oh, it's great.
Apparently that laugh is used at, it's
Universal Studios. Yeah. I read that too.
That's great.
Yeah.
You see how big his mouth gets when he laughed like that?
Oh, I don't know how he didn't blow out his throat when he did that laugh.
And then,
it's very funny though.
And you're looking at him, but then, you know, when you look at Shelley, she just has these great expressions on her face, you know? And obviously this was supposed to be more of a vehicle for Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
But she was right there. She was great with, you know, the touching scenes when, you know, she had to cry and everything. I mean, I really felt like this could be real. I mean, you know, Kathy and I, we worked fixing up a house. Your relationship can definitely deteriorate as the house
has
more and more, you know, things going wrong.
Oh,
in it.
And then this was such an amazing disaster. I mean, the scene in the kitchen where he flips the switch and just like the wiring just catches fire and then blows the turkey up through the window and all that.
Right.
That's awesome. You know?
Right. It's not going to happen. But so what?
Exactly.
It was done.
It made me I laughed out loud.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Ebert was saying, years later. So.
Yeah. And Ebert was saying that there's like, you know, one funny thing and 91 minutes of filler.
I disagree.
Not at all. And another guy felt that the scenes were written like they were forced and they were just trying to keep the whole idea of the movie going. And I'm like, not at all. It didn't feel forced to me at all.
I didn't think so. And that's like the point of the movie. It's the money pit. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
It's about a house that on the surface looks like a great steal. And then it turns out to be a fucking disaster.
Right. Right. And, you know, and that's like all of us that go house hunting, we're hoping to find that diamond in the rough.
Right.
And it doesn't happen. There's a reason things are priced a certain way.
See, when Sue and I were looking for a house, I didn't want a fixer-upper. I wanted nothing. Right. I mean, I know that there's always going to be little things that pop up and you're going to have to deal with things. But I wanted to have as little worries about that kind of stuff as possible because I'm not a handy guy. You have a background working with tools. You're an architect, so you know about construction. So, you know, if you have to do a couple of projects around the house, it's probably not as big of a deal to you as it would be for me.
Right. But, you know, our first house, we like rebuilt a lot of stuff. So, yes, this new house we're in, It's new. It's only from.
Well, you were a lot younger when you bought the other house.
Well, yeah, that too. But yeah, to think we had like a 5-year-old and 2-year-old as I'm tearing out the kitchen down to its studs, and you know we're cleaning our dishes in the toilet and stuff. Well, okay, not in the toilet, but you get the idea,
right?
It was tough for several months.
You were struggling a little bit as somebody who has worked on rebuilding and altering homes more than once,
right?
Have you ever had any mishaps with tools or anything?
Actually, you see me fidgeting a little bit. I dropped a hammer on my mansack.
Okay, hold on a second.
I'm serious.
How is that possible? And how are you here talking to me without like...
I can't believe... Listener, shut your ears, because I can't believe I just said that. You're getting the truth. We were working on some siding, and I was sitting on the deck.
Okay.
I'm sitting cross-legged. The work is right in front of me at chest level.
Okay.
And I'm trying to like hammer nails in.
Okay.
And she's holding up
like
the
in front
siding.
Of yourself?
I'm right in front of myself.
Okay.
And she's trying to hold the siding up.
Okay.
Because we're trying to do something kind of in a backwards order.
Okay.
And as I'm hammering, the nail slips and falls. So I have to get another nail. And, you know, as she's getting tired, she's dropping the siding. And it's just getting really frustrating. And at some point, the hammer slips out of my hand and it just falls right between my legs.
Uh-huh.
And it just grazed the side of the sack. And it was hot, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. So you're like sticking your leg probably.
Right. And so it fell just right on the edge and just pinched and ripped a little skin off.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here with a partially skinless scrotum.
No.
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's the worst. I've never fallen off ladders.
Thank God.
I've never shot a nail, you know, through my fingers or anything like that. I know people who've done that.
Some people would take a fall off the ladder rather than a hammer to the nutsack, but...
Yeah, but you know...
It sort of just grazed you, at least. Like, it didn't fall flush right on your...
Right, sack. Yeah. It's not like it crushed the testicle or anything. It just scrapes the... But, you know,
but
that
still,
really hurts.
Oh, yeah. It's a sensitive area.
And you can't... Right. And you can't put a Band-Aid on it.
No.
So...
That's the tough injury right there.
Yeah. So it's a little skin off my sack.
I mean, I've heard of having skin in the game, but this is ridiculous. Well, I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I'm all right. Might keep changing my positioning.
Yeah. So before you were talking about like how you thought Shelley Long had a couple of really cool moments acting-wise.
Definitely.
There's a scene in the movie that last night when we were watching, it kind of struck me. So she spends the night with Max and then she doesn't want to tell Walter.
Right.
And then he's like, listen, if you told me, I would be okay with it, but lying I can't deal with.
Right, right.
So they fall asleep. She wakes up in the middle of the night. And she's trying to wake him up to tell him because she can't take the guilt anymore, right?
Right.
Tom Hanks in that scene when he's like half asleep, trying to wake up. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's doing all that. I think that's a great performance. That really struck me as just great acting. Like, mm-hmm. I really believe that he was, you know, in a real deep sleep and he's not really aware of what she's saying.
Right.
And then he wakes up. He's like, you whore! But I just thought that was a really good acting.
Yeah. The only thing a little bit before that I didn't like is while they're having dinner,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's confronting her. He's like, well, I know you weren't here last night because I called. Where'd you spend the night? She said, oh, you know, we went out with the people from the orchestra. Blah, blah.
Right. And Max bought dinner.
And then
blah,
he
blah, blah.
Jumps to like, did you sleep with him? And it's like,
well,
I guess he's supposed to be somewhat insecure.
That, and also I think there's still a little bit of a connection between her and this guy because they're, well, you know, they're exes.
Yeah.
But she was still living in his apartment for part-time and all that.
Yeah.
So, and that was the other thing. I'm going all over the place. But in the beginning, I forgot about that beginning part with his father in Rio and all that. With the new wife.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that scene and then the scene ends and then the story starts with, you know, Tom Hanks' character and so on.
Right.
And I'm like, why was that even in there?
Right.
Like, why is that even necessary? It's to set up that his dad is kind of a unscrupulous guy and all that. And Walter ends up footing the bill all the time for it.
Right. Yeah. And he's trying to straighten out all the crap that his father's done.
Right. By the way, let's talk about really quick while we're on that subject. White Lion.
White Lion.
Making an appearance as the band that he, you know, he's trying to pay for like stuff that he sold on their behalf as their entertainment lawyer or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, Why are you giving them the money? Just steal from them like everybody else does. This is going to confuse them. You know? I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, that was an earlier version of White Lion.
Yeah, that's not the band that cut the album.
No, White Lion, they actually had some pretty decent success in the mid to late 80s. They went like triple platinum, and they had like a couple of top 10 hits. Wait and When the Children Cry were two big songs for them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was a big fan of them back in the day. Leslie West from Mountain.
That was so cool.
Yeah, he's one of the cheap girls.
One of the cheap girls. We want to change the band's name to Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. I don't think that's a good idea. He's like, well, maybe she'll be flattered.
She'll be flattered.
No, I think you'll probably have a big lawsuit.
That he's leaving. He's like, Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so a couple of good cameos from like rock people. And I like the guy, Philip Bosco. He plays Curly, which is he's like the construction foreman.
Right.
He passed away a few years ago. Oh. But he's a good character actor. He was in a lot of other things. One of the things I remembered him, he played Cameron Diaz's father in My Best Friend's Wedding.
Oh, right. Okay.
But he's actually from Jersey City. And Sue told me a story of where she met him.
Okay.
He was doing a show with Carol Burnett, and I think she met him after the show, and she said he was like super nice.
So the other big cast member, Alexander Goodenough, mm-hmm. who was Max, while he's conducting the orchestra at the end of the movie, they're performing Ode to Joy by Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was also played at the safe opening scene in Die Hard, which also starred Goodenough.
While we're talking about casting, Shelley Long wasn't the first person that they talked to for the Anna role.
Whoopi Goldberg.
No. Kathleen Turner was actually considered, but she ended up making the sequel to Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile, instead.
Right. So let's talk about the house a little bit, because that was a very large cast member.
Yes.
Right?
One could argue it's the star of the movie. No offense to the actors.
And it's the biggest star. It was a real house in the North Shore of Long Island.
I have the address. I have the actual address.
That really?
Yeah, because it was actually on Zillow. It was up for sale. So the address is 199 Feeks Lane in Locust Valley, New York.
Okay.
11560 if you want to look it up.
Well, I'm sure it's... I want to go look.
Everybody's probably aware of it at this point, so it's not like top secret information.
Right. They rebuilt the front of the house on the back.
Right.
So that's what they were filming, and that's what we see.
Right.
Because that's what, you know, they were tearing it apart and all that. They want to rip apart.
Right. So they tore
the actual
apart.
House.
Right.
But they did. They still did do some.
Right.
You know, and this house was owned by a very wealthy publisher who is also an Olympic gold medal winner. Yeah, his name is Eric Ritter. His family owned Knight Ritter, which was a media company. And yeah, he won his gold medal in yachting in 1952.
Is yachting really a sport, though? No, I'm kidding. It is to those people, but...
Sure. To me, the sports are still, you know, the running, jumping, all that.
Right.
I'm old.
There's some physical stuff going on.
Oh, definitely. No, and it's teamwork and all that. You know, you could say it's a lot of teamwork and stuff.
So Family of Deer just ran behind
you. Oh, really? Aw. How sweet.
Yeah, it was cool.
Didn't see any deer in the movie.
I know. Probably not, because it looked like they were testing missiles.
That's right. I love that. Yeah, that was a funny callback each time.
Who are you testing
that and 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Which is what you hear. Most of the interior shots were done in a studio, though.
Yeah.
So they had the house during the filming, and then another couple bought it in 2002, and they spent millions fixing it up.
Yeah.
And in 2014, they listed it for like $12.5 million. Nothing happened, and then they listed it again in 2016 for $8 million. I don't know what's happened since then. We should go on Zillow and
To Zillow, the house sold for $3.5 million in October of 2019.
No, that's it?
I mean, you know.
It's a 5.5-acre property.
Yeah.
It's got like 8 bathrooms.
8 fireplaces, 8 bedrooms, 8 full and 2.5 bathrooms, and a 1,300-foot driveway.
My God.
I mean, it's a beautiful piece of land and the house. But I guess, listen, I don't know what real estate situations were like in 2019. You know, maybe they were weirder or something.
Yeah. Well, they're not as crazy as they are now, but still, that's huge. Let's talk about that long driveway. So I love the scene. When now our lovebirds are in bed, and all of a sudden there's all this mayhem happening outside, and you see the crew
watching them.
We're just assuming the crew is coming down the driveway, looked like something out of Mad Max or something, you know? And apparently there were some actual Hell's Angels that were part of that scene.
And I love that, by the way.
That's true, but
I love that the construction crew looks like the circus has come to town.
Oh my gosh. That's scary.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And Curly's there like, all right, start tearing it down, boys. And, you know, he comes running, Walter comes running out. He's like, wait, wait, wait. And they're like, what, is there anybody in there? You got to get them out. And they just start ripping everything apart. And right. I'm like, you don't have to rip off the siding to do the plumbing.
I think it's all part of the Looney Tunes comedy.
Absolutely.
It's all part of it. I laughed out loud throughout the whole movie, just like the sarcasm between the two main characters.
Yeah.
You know, the slapstick comedy of stuff falling apart. You know, he falls through the floor and he's stuck in the rug the whole time.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
When the first time I saw that, I was like, oh my God, is it like the floor coming alive? But yeah, he falls. The whole thing, the way he's moving his head.
Yeah.
His physical traits were so great. He can't yell because his chest is constricted in the hole. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then when she comes home, what does she do when she sees him? She laughs.
You know how sometimes when you're really nervous or uncomfortable in a situation, you'll start giggling or start laughing?
Right. Yeah.
I think it's that.
They did a lot of neat stuff, like the name of the kind of crooked contractors was Shirk. Shirk.
Right.
Like, shirk your responsibility. Thought that was hilarious.
Let's talk about those actors really quick, too.
Okay.
Joe Mantegna, I think is how you say his name, played the first guy.
The carpenter.
The carpenter. You know, and he hits on Shelley Long and stuff.
Yeah.
That guy's a great character actor, too. Mm. He's been in a million things. He is probably best known to fans of comedy as the renegade DJ in the movie Airheads with Adam Sandler, Brendan Fraser, and Steve Buscemi. Also, he's the voice of Fat Tony, like a mafioso kind of guy on The Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Shelley Long had a great line.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here she's just been attacked by this guy, and now... Walt is saying, oh, wait, no, we need him. He's the only carpenter in the area. And his brother's a plumber. And she's like, oh, his brother's a plumber. Should I sleep with him? And then, you know, Walt's like, well, maybe just the one time.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was so many of those really cool one-liners.
The guy who plays his brother, the plumber, Carmine Caridi, that guy, another character actor. I'm going to get my Kiss reference in. Here it comes.
Oh, my God.
He has a starring role in the TV movie Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Oh, my gosh.
Which we also talked about on this podcast. Yeah. Find that episode if you're a fan of Kiss. Even if you're not, it's funny. It's funny.
Yes, yeah. You guys did a good.
Yeah, Blazer and I did that. So anyway.
It's funny.
Maureen Stapleton. The mother from Johnny Dangerously, among other things.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah.
She's a very bit part. And that's the thing. Like, when you first show up, you're watching this, you're watching the two of them walk through the house with her. And, you know, she's all sweet about, oh, but I got to sell the place cheap because of all the blood-sucking lawyers. And then she's like, oh, wait, don't turn on the electricity because, you know, I have to keep the bills down because I got to pay the blood-sucking lawyers.
Meanwhile, Walter is a blood-sucking lawyer.
Right, exactly.
Who's poor somehow.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's honest. He's
new. Actually, no, you know what it is? Because he's paying off his father's debt.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I'm watching it last night.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm really enjoying watching this, but I'm not sure we're going to have anything to talk about. Like, I'm afraid we're not going to have a lot to talk about. But I was wrong. So I'm glad.
Well, you know what? I think there's a lot to talk about because it's reflective of, you know, life.
True.
I mean, I definitely have fear sometimes when I'm about to work on a house or do something that I haven't done before. You just get nervous, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, when she went to light the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And they're smelling the gas in another room.
Yeah.
And he comes running in and she's like, oh, poop, everything's fine.
Not reality.
No, that's not real.
That would have been a disaster for
them. That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
But now Shelley Long's legs looked great, didn't they? They had her in those shorts throughout the movie. She looked very good.
And fun fact for you.
Fun fact?
That was right after she had a baby.
I know.
Yeah. In fact, they delayed production on this film because she was pregnant. And they wanted to wait for her. So good for her.
Good for her, man. Way to snap back there,
so,
Shelley.
One of the things, well, we sound like a couple of
how
guys.
How sexist right was that?
My wife's going to be very disappointed in me right now.
Kathy's not going to hear this.
Should I cut this part out?
No, it's funny.
I'll cut that part out where I said, should I cut this part out? So
no, don't cut it out. And keep this too.
So, you know, you were talking about how you can relate to real life a little bit in this.
Yeah.
One of the great scenes with Alexander Goodenough, where they sort of humanize him a little bit. But he says to Walter, do you realize what you've done? You've taken a woman who loves you, one of the great women in the world, and thrown her away. I lost her too, but I'll get over it because I'm shallow and self-centered. But you won't because you're complex.
Complex.
You will feel terrible anguish for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
This is turning out to be a
pretty good day for me.
But I think it's really kind of cool that he has that moment of clarity where he realizes, I blew it with her.
Yeah.
And he tells Walter, don't you blow it too. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, all the problems they have with the house should have destroyed their relationship.
But it's like Curly said at the end,
mm-hmm.
if you have a strong foundation.
That's right. As we get older, I'm getting a little philosophical here and I apologize.
Oh, please don't.
No, seriously. I think as we get older and maybe with a lot of therapy, we realize that it's worth working on your relationships. It's worth forgetting about some of the little things and, you know, and not like holding all that shit in and carrying all that burden. Just be grateful for the people that are in your life that most of the time you have great times with and, and happiness and love. And if you're fortunate enough to find somebody special like that, I can't imagine my life without Sue. She's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so grateful for the life we have together.
Mm-hmm.
So if like shit happens in our life that's challenging, I'm not going to give up because she's worth investing my life. I hope people listening to this, you know, if you're going through like a weird relationship time and you're frustrated with your significant other, maybe take a minute to think about all the good things they represent to you. It's possible that they're not the right person for you.
Sure.
But most often, I think people give up on relationships and not just like romantic relationships. I think friendships too.
Yeah.
You know, where they shouldn't give up. In summary, we love our wives.
We love our wives.
And are grateful for our wives and are grateful for the lives we have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, but I think we may have just made up for the Shelley Long comments.
I hope so.
I hope so,
too. You have to keep it all in.
Yeah.
All of it. The Shelley Long.
Oh,
and
yeah. It's all staying in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Kathy looks nice and short, so.
Of course. So did you know this movie was a remake?
I've seen the original, Mr. Blanding's.
Builds His Dream House.
Yes, I've seen
that. Cary Grant and Myrna Loy.
Yeah, I've seen it. Have you seen it?
I've never seen it.
I highly recommend it. It's very funny.
The original film holds the number 72 spot on AFI's 100 Years, 100 Laughs list. So
I'm telling you, it's worth it.
It's got to be worth checking out.
It totally is worth checking out.
Mr. Blanding's Builds His Dream House with Cary Grant and Myrna Loy.
Yeah.
And one other fact I found. In 2013, NBC announced that it was partnering with Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment to create a sitcom based on the movie.
I never saw that.
Apparently, Justin Spitzer, who was a writer-producer of The Office, was attached to write the adaptation.
Oh.
It was shelved in 2014 after executives had trouble casting the lead roles.
Oh, okay.
This, as a TV series, I don't know if it would work.
You know what? Maybe it could be like a Netflix series where it's only like 2 or 3 seasons of 6 episodes each or something.
Maybe, yeah.
What's the interest of seeing every little thing that's going wrong? I mean, even the movie, all of a sudden they went 4 months in the future.
Right.
And oh my God, the crap that they were living with.
Yeah.
Like when Shelley gets up and she opens her medicine cabinet and there's that dude there.
Yeah.
And he's going through, oh, you're low on your birth control pills. She's like, thank you. And
all in all, I would say that the movie holds up well.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed watching it again.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, please don't forget to like us at facebook.com/screenfacts. Remember, at Jason Davis Voice on Twitter, screenfacts@yahoo.com. Also, please visit jasondavisvoice.com if you need a voiceover for a commercial, internet or corporate video, e-learning, phone messages, and more. Thanks for listening.